Blog Talk Radio.
Well, son, I tell you, life for me ain't been no crystal stair. It's had tacks in it and splinters and boards torn up and places with no carpet on the floor bare. But all the time I've been a-climbing on and reaching ladders and turning corners, sometimes going in the dark where there ain't been no light. So boy, don't you turn back. Don't you set on the steps, 'cause you find it's kinda hard. Don't you fall now, for I still going, honey. I still climbing, and life for me ain't been no crystal stair.
And welcome to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I am delighted to greet you again tonight on our special talk show and dialogue. Talk Straight is an online radio format designed to assist Building Families and Communities Institute in reaching a national audience. Our weekly topics will focus on real issues confronting families and communities. Yours truly is the host. We will engage experts in various disciplines of study, and most importantly, listen to you, our audience, and engage in provocative conversations. Additionally, the show will serve as a catalyst for sharing relevant information to our online community. We again welcome you if you have joined us because you got notice from our Facebook, via email, or Twitter. You're welcome to call in. This episode is an open mic discussion as well. And the title for our topic tonight is Mama, You Don't Have to Cry No More. The number to call is 657-383-0944. Again, that's 657-383-0944 if you're listening live, or you can archive our show later. Naturally, we'll be happy to engage you in discussion. For those of you that may be new to the show, let me give you a background for our format. Typically, we offer some background, factually based information as the context for our conversation throughout the show. And if we have a guest on, we have them to share their experience and their expertise. But more importantly, we open the phone lines to you after we provide the background information to you, our listening audience, to engage you. Please call us. We will place you in queue and allow you to share with us. We're grateful for what we consider to be an excellent show on this past Tuesday, as well as the other shows. We're grateful to have our co-host, to come back with us, Pastor Ricky Walla. He will be tuning in, and possibly Pastor Sean Kennedy as well. And any other callers, we welcome you again. The number is 657-383-0944. Call us to give your comment or ask a question. Stay with us throughout the conversation and engage us into qualitative dialogue. So tonight we are talking again in our open mic discussion from the topic, You Don't Have to Cry Anymore. Far too many mothers find themselves sobbing in tears out of concern for the safety and security of their children. In a day and time when the lines between normal and abnormal are constantly being eroded, fear of social failure and early demise is at an all-time high. Using rhythm and blues as an instructional tool, yours truly, the host of Talk Straight, will facilitate our discussion about how mothers can stop their crying and their children across America. So please don't miss your opportunity. Call 657-383-0944 and join us in our dialogue on this November 17th, 2016. Some of our special guests tonight will be the OJs, and they will share with us Cry Together. Mary J. Blige will make a special appearance talking about Each Tear. And the dual singers, Mary Mary, will also share in our dialogue talking about Yesterday. All right, having said that, let us go now to our backdrop of conversation. And we will open the phone line shortly to you, our listening audience. As I mentioned previously, we're talking from the topic, Mama, You Don't Have to Cry No More. And I will strive to intimate this concept or this idea in such a way that you'll understand where we're coming from. As mentioned in our previous show, part of who I am is a pastor, so I want to begin with offering a bit of hope first as we look at some other social issues that may be disturbing or may be unsettling for some. But at the end of the day, by the time we finish this episode, I hope that we have some construct for hope and answer to our problems in such a way that we can walk away feeling empowered and inform. So again, we're going to begin by sharing a little background information with you here. The psalmist Davis in Psalms 30 and 5 writes, "For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, joy cometh in the morning." The Savior was recorded as stating in John chapter 16, 33, these words, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." According to articles and studies of the American Psychological Association, the act of crying is the shedding of tears in response to an emotional state of being. Crying is also known as weeping, wailing, whimpering, and bawling. This emotional reaction stems from physical pain, social pressure, or emotional stress. It is recognizable via the presence of tears flowing down the eyes, perhaps erratic breathing, or the making of loud sounds or noises, and also muscular tremors. Physiologically speaking, a neuronal connection between the lacrimal gland, or the tear duct, in the eye, and the areas of the human brain known as the amygdala and the hippocampus have made some sort of connection and been established by some sort of a connector. While different circumstances affect people in different ways, any human, male or female, is capable of crying under the right condition, culturally in different countries around the world, it is commonly believed that men don't cry. And some research suggests that women cry more than men. Some would argue that perhaps they're more honest about how they feel and the realities confronting them. Nonetheless, it is a healthy way of releasing stress or coping with certain circumstances to be able to get it out or to cry. Tonight we want to talk about the cries of mothers, and let's look at why it is some reasons that a mother specifically will cry. Generally understood that part of the birth process or pregnancy and carrying a child involves the natural changing of hormones for women who are in childbearing. And this can cause a change in behavior, attitude, or even sensibility to certain stimulus or things that are going on, interactions with people. When a mother gives birth, it is believed that a concept called postpartum depression can settle in if, for various reasons, they feel as though they're concerned about the birth of the child and or the condition which the child will come into the world. When there's little to no support from the father, this increases the chance of postpartum. And there could be other factors as well. But more specifically, after a child is born and the child grows up in the world, any mother wants to see their child successful. In the context of today, the time when young people all across America are displaying a lot of frustration and anguish with the plight and the social condition, particularly in urban America, it is understandable that mothers go through some sort of separation anxiety for their children when they prepare to leave the home. One of the questions we ask tonight in our Facebook dialogue is, in the current environment of America, what is the top concern of mothers for their children when they leave the house? And as we, again, look at this very closely, we realize that often it's not that they don't trust their own children. Sometimes it is. As it is, they're not sure what to expect from other people because there seem not to be a common thread of respect and understanding of what's appropriate and what's inappropriate. And so the chances of the risk of engaging someone negatively in violence and things of that nature are greater. Some other reasons why a mother might cry is because the relationship that she's in with the child's biological father is not healthy. And there's concern that there may be some abandonment of the child on part of the father as well as the mother. Due to social stressors and instigations in families, quite often people get together for various reasons and children come in the world. And when the parents are not on one accord, it leads to separation and discord. But yet it is believed that the mother is always going to be there to take care of that baby. In fact, some have said the mother's baby, daddy's baby. May sound unsettling. But there are a lot of statistics that show that there are a lot of too many single-parent homes. And the way the mothers become single-parent head of household is because of some breakdown in communication with the biological progenitor, paternal progenitor for that child. This can lead to stress, emotional stress, and quite often people turn to other apparatus for support or relief, such as drugs or alcohol, and it can factor into the crying or the shame or the despair. And then there is grief. Far too often, we see where many mothers either have lost a child or have been forced through social economic conditions to raise their children in an environment where there is a high chance that their child may face an early demise or death. And even though the child is not dead, the parent has great concern for their safety and well-being. That's what we want to talk about tonight. And at the end of the day, we want to know, what can we do as concerned individuals to turn that sort of thing around and bring an end to that fear, that concern, and the cause of that tear? I think my good friend has joined us. Good evening. How are you, caller?
All right. How you doing there, Doctor?
Hey, that's my good friend, Pastor Ricky Waller, who has joined us yet again. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, man. Grateful to be here, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Another opportunity to share some good news.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's, we're grateful.
Yes, that's good, man. I just was tapping in just to make sure I sit in and be open and ready to receive.
Okay. Absolutely,
yes,
absolutely. Let me share with the listening audience that Pastor Waller is one of our previous guests who came on and spoke from the topic related to Put It Down for What. And he offered us great information. We talked about, he's an author and a pastor and a motivational speaker. His book is entitled Still High. And in fact, he is graciously supporting Building Families and Communities Institute's effort to reach out and to share our model, research-based model, for resolving some of these issues. So we have his book in our back store. You can purchase it, and when you do so, a portion of the proceeds will go to supporting our efforts to not only work here in Nashville, Tennessee, but to take that message to starting off with 10 cities abroad. So we're grateful to have him to come in and sit in with us tonight and take his time. I understand he's a busy man, but we appreciate him taking the time to be with us. And again, I want to encourage you, if you're listening, to call us, 657-383-0944. Your input is important to this discussion. Naturally, we will continue on, and we will place you in queue and hopefully have some good dialogue with you. But before we do that, I want to, Pastor, introduce our first guest tonight, and that is the OJs. If you would just take a few minutes to listen to them, they have a very important message that I want to tie into our conversation about mothers not having to cry anymore. Let's give a listen to the OJs, and then we'll come back on the other side of that.
There ain't nothing wrong.
listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. And we just heard from our first featured guest, Pastor. The OJs said simply, in a dialogue, a man and a woman was having a conversation. Now, you give me some feedback on this, but what I heard them say are a couple of things. We're not the only people in the world. Ain't no need you being ashamed that you cry sometime, that circumstances cause you to cry. Don't feel as though you are nobody or that something is wrong, because there are a lot of folk right now who are crying about their present circumstance. And quite often, mothers are the ones who find themselves honest about it and let you know, I got a problem. What about that?
Yeah, that sounds good to me, because there's nothing wrong with being able to do that when you have the comfort of one another, man. And that's why he was talking about pride together, you know, and then the power of togetherness. And every now and then, sometimes, you know, you look around and you just have to cry for obvious reasons. and that's the thing about it. When I look back over that, and I discovered that there was a long time, man, of that going on, even when you don't see the tears falling. There was an inner cry. Yes, my, there was an inner cry. And see, when now that I know that the scriptures cried unto the Lord, you know, and I poured out my complaint. In other words, that I didn't just have one area that I was crying in. I poured out my complaint as a whole. Could you imagine the type of cry? So I can relate to that. You know, it sounds really, really good and inspirational, because again, I favor the OJs a lot. And actually, I have a little segment in my book on page 10, you know, about the music that I often would listen to. And I listened to various kinds of music back then, and I honestly think during those times I enjoyed listening to music, because the OJs did say there's a message in our music. And you have to open your ears and listen to it. And I remember doing that. Even when I was yet without knowledge of the will of God, I was able to listen to the music. You know, they have a thing to say, I love music, just as long as it's grooving.
That's
you know,
right.
So it was a whole
lot
of things, you know, it brought by when you played that, you know, memories of that took place. So, yeah, you know, there's nothing wrong with crying out. And I think that's when my life decided to change, you know, the direction that I was going after I cried out, you know, unto the Lord who heard my cry. See, he heard my cry. And that's the thing about
and
it.
And did
he pity
you?
You're not crying for nothing. All he did, every bit of that, you know, because he didn't take my cry and say, what are you crying for? You know how sometimes they ask you what you're crying for. Yeah, you better stop all that crying. Well, the Lord was pleased with the cry, because he understood that I couldn't help myself. Like a little baby, man, when the baby needs to be fed or dry or something going on with the baby just have a tendency to want to cry.
Right.
And, you know, so that was inspiring, man. I really, really enjoyed that segment.
Right.
You
know, one of the questions I want to share with the audience tonight is in the current social environment that we face across America, certainly right here in Nashville, but across America, what do you think the top concern of a mother is for their children when they leave the house? What is it that you think would cause them to cry the most in their heart, either silently or out loud? What do you think that might be?
Worried about what they're going to do and how they're going to conduct themselves, even with good information and a structured foundation as they leave. Always the fear and the thought of what could be, you know, would they get with the wrong crowd? And would they, you know, and worry would cause a mother to cry once they discover and find out that the child is no longer doing what they thought they was going to be doing once they sent them off to college, just going on to leave home as a whole. Giving them the best instructions, you're doing all that, letting them know that you're there for them if they need to call on you. But the kids sometimes, I would say, stray and head in another direction. And the gradual loss of identity would cause the mother or the parent to cry because they know that this is not the daughter or the son that I sent off. I knew that I was sending them off in good standard, but however, I'm not hearing from them like I thought I would be. And so that can bring forth a concern and wonder why.
Let me ask you, because I know you're a parent, Brother Preacher. And, you know, when we drop both of our children off in school, and particularly my son, because he's the furthest away, he's in Cleveland, Ohio. My wife began to cry. And he looked at me and he said, "Look, I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to do this." He said, "What are you crying for?"
Right.
He said, "Well, that's just normal. That's just normal." And some would argue that that's just being a woman. But I think maybe you may be onto something. It wasn't so much that she distrusted him as it was she wondered how well would he be able to respond to this great big world with all these threats and challenges out there.
That makes mothers
hard to
want
to cry.
Now, that's amazing.
But now, in my mind, I'm saying to myself, I'm going to miss him, but I realize he's got to leave the nest.
And
I was confident that we put enough in him to sustain. Mm-hmm. But even then, I have some question, you know, how would he deal with this circumstance.
But
is it necessary for a mama to cry all the time?
Just something that's about that connection that the mothers have. And you said it earlier, Pastor. You said, you know, it's the shown up mother's baby, and the dad is maybe. See, so now you know what I mean, that you got the possibility of knowing 100% that it is you. But it's nothing like that walk around with kid in the stomach.
Come
and
on, talk to me.
That connection right there, man, you know, causes the baby to be more effective with the mother, just like now. Take, for example, I brought my daughter up by myself. And let me say, with the help of God. But I brought her up by myself. And I say this, and the mother don't mind me saying this, because she said herself that she felt like when she turned the baby over to me, she was in the best hand, and I didn't understand it myself at that time. But she said that she'll be better with you than she would with me. And she was around 2 months of age at that time when she put her in my hand, and she walked off and left town. And left town. You see, and so I've always heard about the things that mothers love and how a mother had to deal with a kid, but they never said anything how when the father had to bring a daughter up or a child up by himself, you see. And so I was amazed by that. And it was interesting because after bringing her up like that, I'm going to come on up into where I'm heading with this, is that still it was that mother's love and that connection that she had. And she think so much of her mother today, and her mother didn't do anything for her.
I see.
But turned over to me, but I made sure that she recognized her, and I made sure that she always knew that she was her mother and everything. And so I was glad I did, and so they have a great relationship. Again, unlike the one she had with me, but she recognized her as her mother. And I think sometimes I said, now, if she had a choice to leave, to who she's going to go with, she'd mess around and go with her mother. but it's a great thing. And her mother don't think that, though. Her mother don't think that,
though. You made a good point.
That's pretty cool, man.
You made a good point when you spoke about the physiological bond that not even the father have with either a boy or a girl. And that is that when that child is in the mother's womb, they are, man, I'm telling you, what a bond.
Amen.
At some point, at some point when the child is good and ready to come out of there. And sometimes prematurely they have to come out. But when the child is ready to come out of there, and after the maturation period, it's a separation anxiety issue with the mother and the child. And my read of the research is that has a lot to do with what I spoke of earlier in terms of the postpartum depression. So naturally, a mother feels as though, hey, I'm losing a bond that I once had. But now, having said that, when we look at mothers who perhaps are crack addicted, on alcohol, and they find themselves separated from their children due to those ailments, do you think that they don't love their children? Or is it that they're so sick and they're hurting and crying on the inside and they're desperate for ways to find their way back home?
Yeah, not that they don't love the child, from my experience now, because I'm in that lineup that you're talking about right now, just so happened, and it's okay. And I don't think she would mind me sharing this, because that's what she had herself into. And that's why I didn't understand again. When she decided to turn the child over to me, and when she said that she would be better with me than she would with her, I didn't understand that. And then her people didn't understand, you know, why would she give that child to that boy? In other words, she walked around with her and had her in her stomach for all of them months. But they didn't see what she saw. She was able to see that if she's with me, she's going to be in a terrible condition. And, and I'm thankful that she, even today, appreciates knowing that she did. And it took a while for her family to recognize that she did what was in the best interest for the child. And, it was amazing to me. And I had never brought up a kid by myself, you know.
Right, right. If I might interject right here, if I might just hold your thought, quite often people don't give credit to individuals like that. They may not know how to articulate it, but they do recognize that, hey, probably the best thing for me to do is let somebody else. In your case, it was the father of your daughter. But another another loved one, because they recognize that they're not in the right position, and perhaps that's the stage of their cry. And we don't want to demonize or cut them out. But I just wanted to interject that, because I think you were hitting on a very key point. The good news is that there's hope.
Yeah, that was great that you brought it up. That was great that you brought that up. I want to listen to what you were saying. You know, I wanted to finish listening to that because it was a very good point. It kind of took me back into my daughter's 20 years of age now. And and man, I mean, you know, it was challenging. Again, it was different. It was something that I hadn't been used to. Of course, I had came out of the lifestyle myself. I had been out for a little while and not a very long time. If you notice, I was only 4 years delivered when she had the kid and by me, and I'm thinking in terms of, and here all of a sudden she's telling me these words and handing them over to me. It almost made me convincingly believe 100% that it was my baby. You know, when she said she was going to turn over to me by way of saying, you know, she'll be better off with you than she would with me, because I wasn't convinced that she was my child in spite of her looking like me or looking like my mother or looking like, you know how they say she looked like such and such, he looked like such and such, and things like that was going on. It was her confidence, because I wasn't planning to have the child. That wasn't none of my plan. I don't know if it was hers either. But nevertheless, you know, I'm glad that you brought that up, because that's something that I had experienced. I'm sure there may be a lot of people that are dealing with that in the area of drugs. And it's not that most of them don't care about the baby. It's that they don't know how to, because being controlled by a chemical is devastating. It'll make you forget about a lot of things when it comes down to attending to them or taking care of them or giving them the what's needed, I would say, attention. And if your attention span is not that strong and your focus is more on the drug, then you place the drug over the kid. I can only relate to that, man. I can't take nothing from that. I really admire that she did that now. But I truly, you ought to see how when I accepted the baby, how I was stunned because I thought she was just leaving and going around the corner back around to her house. She left town. And I was amazed. And so that's when I had a chance to look back over it and see and thank God that she did that, man. Actually, I honor what she did.
Absolutely.
Had she not, man. Mm-hmm, go ahead.
Now, that's interesting because what I'm hearing tonight from your experience, and this is a way that we can help grieving or struggling mothers in a similar situation, despite their challenge, what is needed the most is that the fathers, and it's not a stab at men, but that fathers that fathers step up to the plate in the interest of their own children to help relieve some of the stress that mothers may face. Even in a situation where they're talking about the environment the child is growing up, when there is a father present to help guide and to console and provide discipline for children, it makes it easier for a mother to be a mother, to be loving and care. Even though she has concerns. But what I'm hearing from what you're saying is that you recognize then that there's a need for me to step in here.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And, you know, sitting there to add to it, Doc, you know, I had some guys to remind me, you know, it's kind of funny, but now, you know, and they was open-minded when they shared this with me, and I liked what they said to me because of how I used to be toward women. See, I wasn't always joyful and faithful and, you know, and things like that. I wrote it in my book, so I can't get around that part of it.
Okay.
And
we gotta
it came
book.
Around.
We gotta get
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting. You find a lot of good information in it. And then I came around, and now I got a little girl that I had to learn how to respect the importance of a girl, of a woman.
Wow.
You know, and so the guys brought it to my attention. He said, man, all that you went through, man, and what you did, man, and now all of a sudden you got a little girl that you have to bring up. And they were trying to remind me of things that I had to talk about and how I treated women because I didn't know how important they were and I didn't even know who I was. And so in the book, I said, I asked women to forgive me. So you can only imagine how out of control I really was. And that's that cry you was talking about. I cried out to the Lord. And I cried, man. No one can see the tears coming out of my eyes, but in my heart, I cried out, man. I tell you, brother, during that time, you know, I
was
numb.
Who was that, Gerald, the lead singer? Eddie, or was it Eddie? Eddie LaVert. He said that there's nothing wrong with you and what nothing wrong with us, but y'all crying.
Yeah, that's right.
There was help.
Yeah. Yeah,
we cried
it made
together.
A difference. Yeah, because togetherness it helped the situation. You know, it helped the situation and you get through the issue a lot better together. You know, the word did say, you know, it says that plainly, you know, can two walk together except they be agreed.
Mm.
So, you know, when you find two that's got that bond, man, you know, you can make it through some things.
Wait a minute now. Explain this to me like I'm 3 years old. You mean to tell me if a man and a woman find themselves in a pit, in a hole, together, that they can come out to talk to me, man.
Oh, man.
Tell me if they put their heads together, Rick. Pastor.
Yeah. By all means, I believe that now. Now, that's today. Today, I do believe that. You said the key to it. They put their heads together. See, when you said something, when you put it together, that means that you're finding that it's a chord that's on one chord. When you put that in motion, you're finding ways and means to get the job done. And
so now,
that's where the power is.
Let me put another pin right there. So the object of me trying to work things out with my children's mother is not so much for me to have a physical relationship as it is to work through that thing so she don't have to cry by herself raising our children. Is that what you that's what I'm getting from you now. That's what I'm getting from you. How about that? I look like we may have lost Pastor Wallen. But
I'm still here, but
okay.
You don't have to have that physical part of the woman. No, that's not even important when it comes down to working through a situation. Faded off the phone for a minute, but no, that was not even something that could cause anything. See, when you put what you have together, Doc, and think about the one may have a little bit more to offer than the other.
I see.
And then when you put that together, what you're doing, you're bringing forth the strength of what one don't have and what one do have. You know how they say the do's and the don'ts? Okay.
When you put that together,
and I take for instance, I'm utilizing the power of going for what you know, use what you have, right? The hand that I had, it was a losing hand. Every day I looked at the hand, the same hand I had yesterday, it's a losing hand. But when I got connected with the Waymaker, he took that losing hand and connected me with the winning hand that he had. You know?
Did you say the Waymaker?
Suddenly, see, the Waymaker came in and took this losing hand that I was walking around with every day, put it with the winning hand that he played with, and then he directed me on the pathway. Give you a good example. Psalms 46:1. He says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. See, when you find one in trouble and you hook up with the one that can get in your trouble with you, he can show you how to get out of it. And that's what you're talking about when the two got together, when the man and the woman get together and begin to realize the importance of it. And then the trouble that was going on, that sister gave me that child because she seen herself in trouble. Now, I didn't have a long time of being out of the trouble that I was in. I had a little taste. You know what the word said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. So she must recognize that that boy have had a taste of something. So let me, I'm not inside the will of God doing the will of God, but I know that he must be doing something different because I can't stay off this stuff and he can.
Okay.
So let me utilize togetherness. I'm going to put the child in his hand. I didn't know that that's what she was doing. As I said, I thought she was giving me the baby to keep for the night, and she was going where she was going at to her home. But she went on prepared to go on out of town to go back where she came from. You see?
Okay.
But that was the power of togetherness, and that's what you're saying. I mean, we no longer had anything going on physically, but we had a thing going on concerning the child.
Sure.
So that made that made it all effective.
Well, so now this tells me that for that reason for crying where there's a feeling of despair and hopelessness in her situation, I don't know her, but your efforts help to heal some of that for her until she can get herself back together. And apparently it helped your daughter to maintain a love and respect for a mother.
That's it. There you go. That's what took place. You know, because I
ain't
got to cry no. No. That's done. You know, because she discovered that my daughter still cared about me. Actually, she loved me. What she don't know, it was because I reminded my daughter. I said, "That's your mother. Don't make no. You wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for her." So I made sure she knew that. And as she grew up, she didn't want to be bothered with her mother, but she didn't know who she was. But the more I encouraged her, Now, see, now they really tight.
Okay.
Tighter with her mama than she is with me. When it comes down to that, man, she loves me, so enough now. But I'm just saying, she'll pick up the phone and call her with some of that girl stuff and be ashamed to talk it with me, you know, something like that. That's what I'm saying. But I don't think right today she ain't going to put up before me on anything right now. But they got a thing going on, Doc. Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, that's a blessing. You know, thank you for that story. And I pray that someone listening or someone that will listen later will gain something from it. Because often, Pastor, there are a lot of brothers who take the position, well, since this relationship didn't go right and she did me wrong, forget about the child.
Mm-hmm.
But I appreciate, the lesson that you brought to this dialogue, that despite any of that, and in the midst of your crying, your hurt, your pain, there's still an obligation. And I appreciate you bringing that to bear. Let's do this. I want to go, you're listening to Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery, and we have on with us again our co-host, one of our honorary co-hosts, Pastor Ricky Waller, who is the author of the powerful book, Still High. And we'll talk a little bit more about that a little later on. But we're going to go now to a brief message, and then we'll hear from our second guest tonight, and that is Mary J. Blige. And she's going to tell us about how to manage your tears, mothers, so you don't have to cry no more. The number to call, and feel free to call us so that we can put you in queue and hear from you, your question, your comment, be a part of the dialogue, 657-383-0944. That's 657-383-0944. If you're listening or you're tuning in on Facebook, by all means, give us your response and join us here right here on live, in our live studio here. At 657-383-0944. After these messages, we shall return.
Hey, they call me Poop. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up be a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked, where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
Talk Straight with your host, Reverend Reuben Dockery, and we're grateful to have you here tonight in our open mic discussion. We're talking about Mama, Don't Have to Cry No More. Call us here at 657-383-0944 and share in the discussion. We just heard from our second guest tonight, a featured guest, and that is Mary J. Blige. She told us that with each tear, there is a lesson. She went on further to say that we don't have to fall apart. Yes, we've had some tough moments, Mama.
No, everything hadn't went just like you expected it to go. But you don't have to fall apart. And guess what else? You
My
got
goodness.
Friend them.
Yes. What
the
kind of news is this?
Bad, but
yeah.
God, it's not
over. Yeah, when God meets for the deal.
That's it.
All right.
I like Pastor, the way Mary J. Blige summed it up. She said that what I'm going to do is at night when I go to bed, I know things are rough for you. And this is the way we do our job. But I'm going to pray for you. Sometimes feels a little hot-headed. They're not obedient, and they get under the subcutaneous layers of your skin. They worry you to death. But I'm going to pray for you. Somebody
that's
been
it.
Praying changes things.
It does.
And
I'm
convinced that there's some truth to that.
Yeah, firm believer.
So with each of these tears, we grow stronger.
Yes, sir.
Talk to me
yes,
about
sir.
That, bro.
Hey,
until somebody called here at 657-383-0944. Talk to me about that, brother.
Okay. Let me share something. I was just meditating as the song was being rendered, and all I could think about was my loving mother and the situation that I was dealing with her. You know, in 1985, during the time when she was laid back in the hospital, and of course, I was captured. I was captured by the street life during that time. I had increased in street life. And after graduating in 75, I didn't go on further to do what I had in my heart to do, was to play with that basketball that I'd been playing with. So anyway, she laid back there, and I had been up all night like I had been doing quite often. And I'm thinking, because I'm up there to see her, and I had a little money then. I gave her one of them Chris $100 bills, you know, while she's in the hospital. I don't want to give her too much. When she sleeps, she ain't going to be able to have that money in no way. So she looked at me, she saw opportunity. She said, you look like you need some sleep. Now, that's a mother's love. I can only imagine the hurt, crying, the pain she was dealing with. She's already in the hospital, but now she's thinking about her son is out there captured. I don't know that she knows that I'm deep into it like I'm into it, but she felt like the opportunity presented itself to her. And she said these words. She said, "You're going to miss me when I'm gone." Man. Now, I'm twisted and entangled and can't get loose from a chemical that's controlling my life and many other people as well who's following me. So anyway, when I leave the hospital, you know, that stayed with me. And all I could think about was my mother telling me those words. So I increased on into the street life even more. But the pain of the hurt that my mother was dealing with when she said that to me, it lingered. So in 1990, I started seeking help. And anyway, I ended up getting delivered in 1992. And my mother passed in 1996, but she had a chance to see me get free. While I was sitting at the funeral, and I had been 4 years delivered, man, and all I could think about was, how am I going to get through this? My best friend just checked out on me. And so all I was thinking about is street life and things that I was used to having me numb, but I had been off of it for 4 years, and all I could think about is I knew my mother wouldn't want me to go back. And sure enough, I said, "God," I said, "I don't know you that well, but you got to show me something now."
Come on now.
And the power of the voice, of my mother's voice, I could hear that strong, powerful voice saying, "Ricky, don't turn back now."
Lord, I know.
And then hearing that voice, Pastor Dockery, I end up writing a book in 2013. And in that book, glory to God, I dedicated it to my loving mother, who was and still is my inspiration.
Okay.
I said, "Mama, you reminded me that I was going to miss you when you was gone." I said, "You never lied." I said, "Those words still ring so true." I said, "I thought I might have gotten used to it by now." But after knowing all of that, Pastor Dockery, I said, "I can still hear your voice saying to me, Ricky, don't turn back now." And I tell you, man, and those words, man, it was so strong and powerful. I can't help but to express that, to share that, because we're talking about a mother don't have to cry no more. I can only imagine what my mother would be thinking if her boy turned back now. Good God Almighty. So I just want to make sure that I don't do anything to cause the love and the joy that I know she have, you know, just knowing that that boy got on the right road and he didn't turn back. So that's enough right there to say, anyone who's suffering from a situation or issue or stronghold or anything, I encourage you to let you know that if you want to please your mother, you can do something that will cause her to say, "I don't have to cry no more."
Wow.
My son realized that I'm doing. Go ahead, Pastor. Good God Almighty.
No. I'm sorry.
It's all right. I need to stop right there for a minute.
Pastor, I was just going to say that you and I did not coordinate to have this dialogue or conversation tonight.
No, sir.
But I thank God for knowing how to do it just right. And to the listening audience, those that may be listening or listening later, you can go to bfcinstitute.com, hover over the contact page, the contact link, and go to the back store, and you can see this book that he's talking about. Very powerful story. And I would say, quite honestly, that this is the type of testimony and the type of message that we need, because we're not only talking about relieving mama's hurt and pain, concern and fear, but we also talk about healing the individual who mama's concerned about.
Yes,
there are a lot of families, a lot of young people who have pulled away from their families for different reasons.
Yes,
and they're out there. They may not be on drugs, but they don't know how to turn to say, "I love you," and to make amends for the separation that caused their mama's heart to be broken. But I want you to know tonight that there is a living example, and we thank God for Pastor Waller sharing his story, not only in person, but via this book and his voice in print, to let you know that you can tell mama you don't have to cry. Don't worry about me no more.
Yes, sir.
It's gonna be all right. It'll get better. Listening
yes.
to Mary J. Blige, if you know anything about her, you know she had a rather tumultuous life herself.
That's right.
Upside down, topsy-turvy. But she had
yeah.
the strength to that, listen, I'm crying, but in
That's
my
it.
Tears is a testimony.
Yeah, amen.
And out of my tears come my victory.
Mm-hmm.
So just because you cry, just because
yeah.
you cry, just because there's a connection between your the duct in your eyes and the portion of the brain that controls your emotion does not mean you're a failure, that you lost, that you ought to
mm-hmm.
give up, but you're crying and
oh,
you're
yeah.
looking for victory at the end of your cry.
That's right.
So,
but
that's
each
year,
there's
mm-hmm. a lesson.
Yes,
there's
it is. Yes. Yeah, the benefits is deep within the tear.
That's
and
it.
I tell you, you said it. Yeah, you said it. You said it in the scripture as you came on. You said his favor for a moment. Yeah. My
what
goodness.
I like about
mm.
it is, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I was just going to say what I like about the word is that there
mm-hmm.
is an answer to every question that we have.
Yes,
anything
sir.
We can conjure up in our mind to question the Lord about, he has an answer.
That's right.
He's got an answer.
There's no doubt about that. Just saying in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, you know, that's how fast change can take place. That can dry up the tears and wipe the tears from your eyes just in that moment. You know, that's why he says weeping may endure. You know, it just may happen. But it's for a night. But I like the part when he said, but joy cometh in the morning. That just great information to hear that type of information and say that there is hope. There is hope.
Yeah,
our community is crying, is weeping as we speak.
That's
but
right.
we know that just that moment, that's how fast the change could take place. And suddenly our communities is just filled with love and joy and peace and freedom and all these things that cause us to know that you said it earlier about the two walking together. You know how it is when you say you can put both of them together when they're down
mm-hmm.
in the hole and you mean tell me that they can put their heads together and come out of there? Yeah,
right.
I believe that. I believe that.
Right.
You know, one have the
right.
strength and the other one is seeking strength. You know, it's something about that, man. It's something, no difference who got the strength. If one have the strength, thank God for who have the strength.
Right.
And I tell you, man, once you put it together, you know, it's something that it brings forth a joy. Pastor, you know, it brings forth a joy. The man that oversees this church, he was a man that had something to offer. And then
mm-hmm.
I was that man out there without. He was
mm-hmm.
with strength, and I was without strength.
Without.
He came out of, yes, sir. Yes, sir. He came out of the church with strength and brought forth some strength to one who had no strength.
My. All right.
You see?
All right.
And once he came out, he was sporting a Cadillac. But he didn't do the ride on by. He let his window down. That's what he did. When he got to the stop sign,
okay.
let the window down. And he saw
wow.
a boy that was weak on the corner, standing there idle. See him day in and day out there. And he decided to extend an invitation because he had something to offer. And all he
right.
said was, ask me a question. All and he said, and wrapped up inside the question was, will you come to church?
Mm.
And I just responded to him and said, I'll be up there one day, and I didn't understand why he asked me that, because he know what I do. You know, why would you ask somebody like me, am I going to come to church? Would I come to church? Amen. I know he wasn't mocking me. Yeah, you know, I'm
right.
minding my own business. He can't be mocking me, because the way he let that cat leg down, he could have kept it up and let the air continue to blow. But he decided to go to work when he came out the building, man. And that's utilizing the power of having something to offer to someone that don't have it.
That's right.
I'm so grateful, man.
Mary answered this question. Mary D. Blige answered this question. To what extent should you become a part of the solution? And I think we can conclude that she would agree that each of us can very easily fall prey and become victims of the social ills that we're talking about tonight. And because of that, we all have an incentive to make a contribution to the cause of addressing these issues. Even if it means making the smallest financial contribution to those who are on the front line.
Oh, by all means.
You know, there's a work to be done. And sometimes people say, well, I'm busy and I got this going on. I can't be there, but here's what you can do. You can make a place a seed offering and do the cause that makes a difference to those who are on the front line.
Look at here.
So there's always something that you can do, but more importantly, there's a need to do something.
Ain't that awesome? That's awesome right there. Just something that they can do. I like that way you put that, that there's something that they can do, even though physically they may not be there, but just knowing that when you sow, you know, the word does say you reap what you sow, and then it says it's more blessing to give than it is to receive.
Right.
And that's what the word says. And I like that portion of my life today, is that the word of God is reminding me about saying now, when I didn't have that type of instruction and out there being supportive of everything that was unrighteous and increasing in the financial realm of being supportive of the enemy's camp. But to be able to be supportive of the kingdom of God system, man, I think there's nothing greater to do it. And I honestly say that. But you said a small contribution, and man, that was a humble way
of
putting it. But see, this is what the man did when he came out of the church. That was a small contribution, man. He just said something to me by way of when you come to church. And I was thinking, my goodness, man. I mean, the power of that meant more value to me than I knew. I found out years later.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let me do this. Listening audience, the number is 657-383-0944. There's still time for you to call. We got about 20 minutes to go here. I'm going to hear from my last special feature, and that's the duo, Mary Mary. They want to talk to us about yesterday. Sometimes we get caught up in our past, but let's see what Mary Mary and them have to say about yesterday and see what we can gain from their contribution. On the other side of this, we'll be right back.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
you're listening to Talk Straight with your host, Reuben Dockery, and our good friend, Pastor Wallace, been in with us on the panel. We're talking about the discussion. This is open mic, and we have a few minutes left here, and we're talking about Mama not having to cry anymore. We began the show by explaining that there are a lot of reasons for the tears and the sobbing and the sadness that we see many good people facing. But tonight we're learning that you don't have to cry no more. We're learning that there's yet hope. And we're learning through some very good examples of how we can turn this thing around. Brother Pastor, we've been posing questions on in our group on Facebook, and we've answered two questions already. One of them in the current social environment of America, what is the top concern that mothers have for their children leaving the home? And we've asked to what extent should one become part of the solution? Our first guest helped us with that, and that was the OJ, when they told us we can cry together. And when we cry together, we can solve our problems together.
Yes,
no matter what it is that we're concerned about our children. And then heard from Mary J. Blige. She told us that you can, again, pray for one another and that you are an important part of your own salvation.
That's right.
And no matter what happened, you're not a victim, but you're a victor. And then lastly, we just heard from Mary.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that helped answer the question. How could concerned individuals pull together resources to help mothers who struggle with the rearing of their children? And I want to say to you that it began first with knowing that your yesterday is just that. It's your yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But your today is in front of you, and with knowledge, with support and understanding, guess what? You can leave your past, and you ain't got to cry no more. You cried your last.
No, sir. That's right. That's it.
I cried unto the Lord. He heard my call.
Yeah. My goodness. Yeah. My goodness. And you know that's a strong statement. Yes, he will. And I thank God that you said it in such a manner that it's only effective if we trust that, you know.
Yes.
He says, the song was just rendered, there's nothing too hard for God. And just put a little emphasis on it, you know. Yeah,
that's what they
put
say.
A little put a little emphasis on it. And with the emphasis being raised like that, you know, it kind of made it sound convincingly. You know, I can believe that that's something that I can try. You know, if I haven't tried, you know, let me go ahead and try him. And I think that's what's going on. That's what's missing. I believe, and I do believe this, I guess coming from the world's way, from an innocent kid playing in the yard to the world's way and back into the realization that, man, that God is a merciful God. And so
a lot of people
want to take time out to try him, but afraid they're doing things, quote, wrong. Well, the only way he can get credit is for you to go to him and let him change you. You know, that's the only way I can give him credit. I couldn't give him no credit. That's the only way. I couldn't give him no credit talking about he changed my life when he didn't. That would be disrespectful. You know, he said, Ricky, you out here talking about I changed your life, and I didn't even change your life. You did. Well, see, I knew how to stop doing what I was doing, but I didn't know how to stay stopped.
Okay.
I always started back. Every time I stopped smoking a cigarette, I started back.
I see.
See, that's the only thing. But when I tried him, when I tried him, that way maker as I was talking about, when Jesus said, I am the way and the life. And when I tried him.
I want to ask you something, preacher. If you and I were to take off our liturgical hat tonight for a second. And I know you know the answer to this. And we break ourselves right down to the final, the least common denominator of the streets. How do we tell somebody that there's nothing too hard for God, and yesterday can be your yesterday, and tomorrow can be your future? How do we say that? Taking off our liturgical head, minister, how do we say that?
The best way for me to tap into that is that, and I say, well, you all know that I didn't mention God in nothing that I was doing because I didn't know him. But you have to start somewhere. I would say you have to start somewhere. And, and that's the convincing way that I had to encourage myself and say, hey, man, you didn't pretend like God done nothing for you while you was captured and caught up and doing what you were doing. So you didn't have to pretend like you was on God's side. So if you look at what, again, that I learned, David says, one thing I desire of the Lord. See, you don't have to know him. And if you're in the world, it's okay. It's okay. Because he understands that you don't know him. So you don't have to pretend like you don't know him.
And he's not going to be offended by you not knowing him.
No, 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 no. Oh, no. He's just going to say, they don't want to just admit it. They didn't know me. I already knew you didn't know me. You know, you heard the name and things like that. That goes on a lot. Somebody say, oh, man, you see Michael Jordan, how he dunked that ball, called his name, but you didn't know him.
Mm.
You see? But to know him. See, I can say, now I know him. See, I remember going into the church. But I didn't know him. And Pastor, I say this now. I had on a suit. I had on a 3-piece suit and everything. Dressed up in the church like I seen a lot of people dressed up. And that's not to belittle people. I just thought all of them knew him. But I knew that I didn't know him. And it was okay. He understood that I didn't know him. And so it had nothing to do with this church way of saying, hey, you got to go to church to know him. No, 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 no. There were many people that wasn't inside the church that got to know him. And that's why I would say to the people that's in the world, it's okay. It's no harm in trying him as you are. It basically is all right. Yeah, so I would say, you know, you don't have to have a Bible in your hand or none of these things.
Boy.
That's it. Pastor, that's why.
I don't have to come a certain way.
No, 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 man. That's why I gratefully honor this man like I do, the founder of the church that I attend. That man came out, he did not extend the Bible to me. He didn't do that. Even when I came into the church, he didn't force the Bible on me. You see, faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You didn't have to have no Bible. So if you're out there now doing what you're doing, no matter what it is, I can recall, and as you said, Pastor, I can relate to him, and it's all right. Yeah, I smoked herb. I did all those things that I thought it was just something to do that was fun.
Okay.
Didn't know I was in a trap. Didn't know I was in a trap. Didn't know I was captured. Didn't know none of those things. Amen.
Messed up.
You know, so messed up. Now let me go a little bit deeper, if you don't mind. I was a slave.
What?
I was a slave for that. Yes, sir. I was a slave, Pastor. I was a slave and couldn't escape. And then I found out later on, it's nothing wrong with being a slave. Just make sure you committed to being the slave that you're going to be. So I became a slave of righteousness now.
Wow.
So I want to become a slave. See, I just know that the slave mentality is being controlled by whatever I obeyed. And so that's what I used to obey. I obeyed the street life. And so I respect that. Now I know. I know, and I'm grateful to know that I no longer have to be a slave to that anymore. And I'm just taking, as you said, taking that hat off for a minute to go back to where it all started and so I won't forget. See, I have to do that. I have to go back and make sure I don't forget where I came from. Them brothers out in the street knew I didn't have no Bible. I was a supplier.
Okay.
You know, I that wasn't on the agenda. So being honest about it, it's good for people to come out of the churches and go out on the field and get down where the people are.
Okay.
That's what the Lord did. Jesus done that. He came and sit around people that was hurting. You know, he didn't force the Bible on them and things like that. And that's what's so good about being able to reach people where they are, to bring them up. You remember earlier we was talking about one that had strength, take it to the one that don't have strength?
Sure.
And when you give someone out there something to stand on and say, man, they came out here and encouraged me.
Right.
Well, that's the good part. That's what we need. We need that. And you said take that hat off and go out there and remind some people that it's okay to be right where you are. I understand, you know, they say they try to duck and hide when they see you sometimes. You remember you saying that before? they want to stop doing what they were doing. But no, man, no, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. I understand. You know,
right.
I appreciate the respect. Go ahead, Pastor.
Sure. No, I was just going to say time is running against us again. And in the interest of making sure we offered some good information and solutions to our listening audience, let me first thank you for being here. And then let me bring some closure here and tell our listening audience what we have. The last question we posed was, what sort of solution is out there? How can concerned individuals pull community resources together to help mothers who struggle with their rearing children so that they no longer have to cry anymore? And I just want to tell you about Building Families and Communities Institute and the model that it has for pulling efforts together. We're endeavoring to go to 10 cities that we've identified that have similar issues and circumstances as Nashville, Tennessee, where we began our work and research. And I want you to, on our Facebook, we shared this link, but I want you to go to our website and look in that website under the educational initiatives and look for the crime intervention advocacy campaign. Read about it. And once you finish reading it, there's a PDF there that you can gain information about it. I want you to consider making a contribution. When you do so, you allow us to work our program here in Nashville, Tennessee, the Parent Empowerment Initiative, with the juvenile courts, where we've been recognized by the juvenile court judge, and she's given us her blessing and identified us as a solution here locally. But you allow us to take elements of that to those 10 cities, as well as working here in Nashville via our traveling seminar and lecture series. Please go to bfcinstitute.com and, again, look under the educational initiatives, specifically for the crime intervention advocacy piece. Help us to help others in the process of making it easy for mothers not to cry anymore about crime, about drugs, about early death and demise. And with that, we're going to thank you again, Brother Pastor, and we're going to close the show out with this announcement and ask that you give ear to it and come back and support us. Our next show will air next week on the 22nd, the 22nd of November. And we'll probably miss Thanksgiving, but on the 22nd of November, join us. You'll get a message from us. But again, with that, thank you. You've been listening to Talk Straight with your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. We thank you again for joining us, and be sure to tune in to us next week as we come back for more proactive conversation. Pastor Waller, thank you very much, and we look forward to hearing our listening audience on next Tuesday.
Yeah, he's doing it. My God bless you. All right.
Hello, listeners. This is your host, Reverend Reuben Dockery. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight on Blog Talk Radio. Here, you can share your thoughts as well as become informed about very important social issues confronting society today. Please take the time to visit my website at bfcinstitute.com. That's bfcinstitute.com to learn more about our efforts to educate, inspire, and empower disadvantaged families across America to improve the quality of life. The best way to stay in the loop of future broadcasts, times and locations for our traveling educational lecture series, and innovative ideas is to become a BFC Institute seminar participant. You may do so by clicking the Join Our Group tab on the home page. I would be delighted to respond to your suggestions and engage you further in most transformative information. Again, thank you for joining us, and I look forward to hearing from you online.